But we are locked in right now on the More Than Just an Interview podcast. We're on episode 11 of the podcast series, monetized by Red Circle. Shout out to our Red Circle family. Want to shout out to all our donors who donate to our podcast on a regular basis. Also want to give a big shout out to iHeartRadio, syndicating our show on 99.7 The Heat Miami. My co-host today is Quintessa Shillette. She is the founder and CEO of House of Shillette. It is a multi-use and multi-faceted conglomerate dealing with entertainment, fashion house, as well as a TV network and a record label as well. She also has a nonprofit and a social media division of her company, House of Shillette. So she has her own production team, shooting content, the whole nine. So she has a Amazon Prime documentary dropping by December of this year, talking about her fashion, her intro into fashion and to the music world at the same time. Quintessa Shillette, welcome to the More Than Just Interview podcast. Talk to me. How you feeling? Quintessa Shillette, talk to me. How you feeling? People, hold on 1 second. She should be coming in. People, I apologize for the delay. We can't hear her in the actual. She'll be coming in. She's switching her devices. I apologize about that. Just bear with us just a little bit. On this show. Okay, Quintessa Shillette is back. Hey, Quintessa.
Hey. Y'all all didn't right, hear my whole introduction. I'm so sorry, y'all. But thank y'all for having me. Thank you, Millennial General. I do appreciate you inviting me on the podcast. My apologies. I'm not sure what was going on with my mic.
No doubt. So we locked in now. So here's the thing, right? We're talking about who is really protected in Hollywood and where does the Me Too movement stand as of 2024? When the Me Too movement started, a lot of things exploded on the scene. A lot of people were living their truth. A lot of people got exposed and, you know, a lot of people started to, you know, take hits. Harvey Weinstein, R. Kelly, just a lot of different people, you know, Kevin Spacey, just a lot of people started to like become affected, impacted by this movement, this fearless movement set off by women who wanted to tell their truth about sexual harassment, rape, and the all of the derogatory things that have happened to them in this dirty game. There's another side of this game as well. It's called protection. A lot of people in this game, a lot of artists steal from other artists. A lot of big time celebrities, they get certain looks because a certain group of people behind the scenes want to put them out front and they give people roles they shouldn't give that were designed for other people. And they give people a look and all of the attributes to try to shine. And in the end, they still don't shine because they just are not qualified for it. Certain people in this industry get super great looks and they don't deserve it. These looks are stolen from other people, these opportunities rather. And Quintessa Shillette is going to talk about that in very much of a detail. So we're going to lead off with that. Who is really protected in Hollywood? I'm going to let her speak on that. And then I'm going to speak on the Me Too movement coming from a male perspective and what now with it. Quintessa Shillette, talk on your passion about some of the people you feel are protected in this game, especially you mentioned reference to J-Lo earlier.
So, yes, let's talk about it. And this is more just a conversational piece. I don't have anything against any of these people. It's just based on observation. Someone on the outside looking in. But yeah, the real question, they always want to ask, like, you know, why are women not protected in the entertainment and music industry in Hollywood, or more so why Black women aren't? And then J-Lo kind of pops up in my head in terms of she was one that was protected. And it's so crazy in this day and age. And we live in the age of social media. We live in the age of basically instant karma in 4K. And you have all of these people all around the world who've had these similar and consistent negative experiences, especially the artists who have proof and receipts that she took their voice, either took their song, took their lyrics that they wrote, or took everything, took the voice. Like, forget AI. You know, of course, that didn't exist back in the day when she was hot, you know, but it's just so crazy to see who they're willing to protect, who they're not willing to protect. Like, for example, let's stay in entertainment and let's stay in Hollywood. Gabby Douglas. That's crazy. Athletes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whether you want to believe it or not, she's now basically, you know, in Hollywood in terms of the amount of press and the amount, the fan base she has and the following she has. You know, she is a top-notch A-list celebrity. I'm a fan of Gabby, but it's just so crazy to see, even though she fought through all of her adversities, she still wasn't protected. You know what I'm saying? So, and then we have the big question of, before Ice Spice, all of her text messages got leaked. You know, there was more, she had more of a fan base that was willing to fight for her, not knowing that a large portion of that was Nicki Minaj fans, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you see the reaction after you miss out on opportunities. People look at you. She lost millions of followers in Spotify.
In like 25 million in the past so far this year. She lost 25 million.
She lost her protection. You know what I'm saying? She lost her protection.
Break that down. Talk deep in that. That's a good point. Talk heavy on that.
She lost. So people think that the money is more important than power, but power is important because there's power in numbers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they're printing money every day, but you can't print time, no matter how rich you are. And I heard E.T., he's a motivational speaker, say that. He said, I've never met a millionaire or a billionaire or a man with infinite money that could print time. So my focus is on time, and that is the true power in things with numbers. So
what do you mean by that regarding the Ice Spice situation, when you say about time, how does that relate to what we're talking about?
So
that's what I mean with you.
Basically, just over the short span of her being out in the last 2 years was time, right? She was humble. She was protected. For whatever reason, you have a lot of people saying she was protected due to colorism.
I believe that.
Then, of course, lyrically, she's more of a club bop. She's not standing next to Kendrick Lamar. She's not standing in between Kendrick Lamar or Nicki Minaj for prospective male and female artistry. So when she decided to, I don't know what she did with her best friend, but whatever she did, she crossed the line. And that caused her to lose out on numbers in such a short period of time that she won't be able to get back within that same period of time. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And when she lost those numbers, she lost a lot more. She lost power. She lost her protection. Is she still making money? Of course. Is she still going to continue to make money? Of course. Can she bounce back? Sure. But as of right now, in real time, we're watching her lose her power. And then her BET, the two songs she chose, of course, her and Lotto is beefing, so they're going to use their diss songs and everything like that. And she did do a little more in her performance than she would normally do. She had more choreography. She had more movement and looked more intentional. She was in more in sync with her dancers and everything like that. So, of course, now she has to tighten up in areas where she didn't have to tighten up before because she had protection. And that's just a small example. For example, I feel like, and I think I told my mom or one of my friends this, when it comes to J-Lo, I feel like if she treated people a whole lot nicer, for example, all of the accusations, all of the receipts, all of the experiences, the negative experiences that everybody experienced, it would have went under the radar.
I agree with that. I've heard that.
That came in numbers. And then look how much later it happened. We're not in the 90s no more. This is decades later. So.
Yeah, I feel like, just to piggyback off that, I mean, she's been in the limelight so long. She's gotten a lot of numerous prominent movie roles and scripts that I felt like other people could have blown it out the water, because I can't name a movie besides Enough and Money Train that I felt like she was like, okay, she in Money Train, she wasn't a star. It was Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, but she played a good role in there. Mm-hmm. But I felt like she's been protected because of the powers that be and what they want her to be. I mean, from an aspect, you think J-Lo could have had a lifetime deal with Nike based on how she looks athletically, mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely. And I feel like that's also part of the reason why Diddy had to take his hands off of her back in the day. Now I was just a young girl. So I don't have my own personal, but based on observation of how that whole situation happened at the club with the gun and all of that. And then she just basically escaped freely. Some people who've really researched that said it was because of her team and her protection. They basically was like, this ain't happening right here, Diddy.
Yeah, I mean, and in that situation, I don't blame them, because Puff was an idiot for being in there, a club where primarily drug dealers go.
Right.
And then, most importantly, you know, you're going in there outnumbered. You know, he went in there with just him, Wolf, his bodyguard, and Shine, and her, and a driver. Like, at that moment in 1999, he was on that Forever album, and he was on his gangster mode then. Like, I'm living. And then it backfired, because everybody's gangster until the guns come out.
Exactly.
And when the guns came out, Shine trying to save himself, and then people get shot, whatever. So, to me, I don't blame them for saying, hey, we don't want this smut on you. And that smut is still coming back on her right now, because they still talking, you know, now with all of these allegations, it's coming back about that. But I think with J-Lo, the thing that bothers me about her being protected in the industry is the fact that I've never seen her truly like help people in the industry. I've never heard stories about how she helped people land roles or what her production company. It's on the outside, it seems a very selfish existence.
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard a positive experience from her when it comes to people on social media sharing their experiences. I haven't had one positive one pop up.
No,
and
I agree.
I think that's sad when you've been in the game for so long.
Yeah, when you've been in the game for as long as her, and you think about and how she started. I mean, she was sleeping in a car when she was on a Fly Girl on In Living Color. So she knows how to grind. She's still a Jenny from the block. But in the same token, you got to look at all the other elements involved. And I just feel like, I personally feel like with her, she's, when you have all this opportunity, you have all of this range to do things, you have to take advantage of the moment.
Who doesn't want to? I agree.
You know, and to me, even with her whole dating life, to me, I think it's all orchestrated by her team to keep a certain level of relevance. Even with the Ben Affleck thing, I think I knew that wasn't going to work because of, you know, they couldn't make it work the first time, and second time. And things are so forced. I tell guys in a barbershop, I've told so many people this, with her, she's never going to be happy until she stops being J-Lo. She just Jennifer and be vulnerable and open. Cool. Mm-hmm. As long as she playing the J-Lo role, it won't work. Because she's looking for something that's not there. And she wants, and she has a very demanding aura. And what people don't realize is once the lights go off and the paparazzi are gone, you got to deal with a regular person. So who is that person?
I think she wanted to be a legend. Whenever she retired, she would always have a face card. But I feel like that's also, you have to be obsessed with something like that to go the lengths that she went and to be that rude and to be that mean. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like who wouldn't want to take advantage of an opportunity? Because we're not saying that we met, not necessarily that we met, but she is one of the people who were protected because she knew how to take advantage of an opportunity. You can literally insert anybody in that position and that person would have taken advantage of the opportunities that was offered. But at the same time, they have a different heart, have a different character, have a different view, have different values. So it's not even, and you never know. Like some people, if you knew you couldn't hit them notes and you knew that girl did and you knew you used her entire voice, you know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you incorporate her in the song as a feature to help her out? Because you didn't want her to be better than you. So jealousy does play. Good competition, healthy competition, there's nothing wrong with it. It's when people start fighting ugly. You know what I'm saying? Fighting dirty, fighting, bringing guns to a knife fight. So a fist fight, a street fight. It was just how she went about it and the fact that she didn't evolve. And it just came out over time.
Yeah, it did. And I feel like, I mean, the worst thing you could do is have a career and nobody really remembers it. And to me, in my opinion, if she stopped acting today and they were doing a behind the music type documentary, people would talk more about her failed love life than they would her movies.
At this point in 2024, people would talk about all of the songs that she did not sing on. And all of the people that she used. So her legacy that she would have wanted to leave behind would not be that. But it definitely would be an interesting watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Because if you look at just the way that she, the music that she's done, you know, she hasn't had the success in music that she wanted to, because I felt like her biggest song is with Ja Rule, Ain't It Funny. Like, and that feels like Ashanti song.
Which she did take from Ashanti as well.
She took that record?
Not that record, but other songs.
Wow. And I feel like when it comes to like what has come to is that there's moments that happen where you have a small window to like blow it up. And people don't realize this, but before Alicia Keys came out, there was a singer called Olivia. Just look it up. Olivia. Olivia was on Love and Hip Hop New York. Beautiful young lady, can sing her face off. I bought her album from Sam Goody.
I love Olivia. I was expecting her to do great things. Like
she was signed to Jive Records when Clive Davis started Jive Records. It was called J Records. Sometimes I think it was called J Records. Anyway, that was from Arista. He left Arista and started J Records because he had a Jennifer, the other Jennifer. What's the Jennifer Hudson? Yeah, her. Remember, she was signed to J Records as well. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, when Olivia came out, if you go back and look up Olivia, look up her first album. I bought the album. The album was so good. I need to listen to it today. Seeing her face off, grinding, everything was beautiful. But then Alicia Keys came out like 6 months later with an album called Keys in a Minor, right? Mm. And but she had the praise. Now, remember, she can sing better than Olivia, but the presentation of her and what they wanted. And I'm not saying Alicia Keys isn't deserving of everything, because she is. I'm just saying Olivia quickly went away. Because they're on the same label, though. On the same label. But she quickly went away. It was like Notorious B.I.G. and Craig Mack. Like, literally, it was like, okay, right. Craig Mack was first. Flavin, yeah. And then Big came along and was like, I'm dropping you. I'm done. So, to me, it's like, they wanted to make sure that they felt like she was the golden goose, and they felt like she could take them there, and they protected her. You know what I'm saying? No. And Olivia is a great songwriter too.
She really is. And she was on Love and Hip Hop New York, right? Mm-hmm. For a couple seasons in the beginning.
Yeah. And she was on 50 Cent, one of his biggest records, Candy Shop.
Yeah. Before Love and Hip Hop. So that goes to show even further down the line in her journey, when it comes to music, she felt like she wasn't protected with G-Unit, being a female rapper, working under 50 Cent, and then Love and Hip Hop, at least the first couple of seasons, I remember her being on, even with her manager, I can't even think of his name. He went and dated a couple other artists, but on the show, and the show kind of moved away from the music. But you could see Olivia's struggle on Love and Hip Hop, just trying to get herself back out there and just not being protected and fought for and for Key in the beginning. Because I know she did. She definitely not on there now. It's been forever. But when she first got on, her whole focus and her whole storyline was just basically getting back out there. Everybody else was more so focused on entertainment. So I actually got to see Olivia not be taken as serious as I thought as an Olivia fan should be taken serious, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that's unfortunate. And like you said, beautiful, talented. But presentation and who your competition is. And it is unfortunate the way record labels do. And I love the fact that there are way more independent artists that are becoming more successful, because that also helps in terms of protection, where you're more apt to protect yourself and you have way more information out there. You have social media, you have technology, you have search engines like Google. You can really research and figure out how to better protect yourself. They couldn't do that. Olivia couldn't do that back in the day. Mm-hmm. So you have artists that are protected that are popping out, like Chloe and Halle Bailey. I've watched more Chloe interviews than Halle, and I love them both. But Chloe always talks about how grateful she is to have the contract that she has and have the freedom and creativity and to get the percentages that she gets. Like, if, like, I don't know how many of her interviews, but majority of her interviews, she always speaking highly of just being positioned in a protected way where she's able to grow. You don't have a lot of artists doing that. A lot of them are complaining and trying to get out of whatever contract that they got themselves into.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. A lot of them are doing that. And, you know, a lot of that comes from the machine. And what happens is, even when you get protected, that doesn't mean, even when you gain protection, that doesn't mean that you're going to have success, because J-Lo has had a lot of activity, but the success to say, oh man, this is that, like, it hasn't been that for her. Nothing that's left an impression on people. Like I said before, like, if she stopped, making music right now. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you follow basketball much, but do you know who Kevin Durant is?
Yes.
Okay, when Kevin Durant went 10 years without winning a championship, then he left the Oklahoma Thunder, mm-hmm. who drafted him, and they lost in the Western Conference Finals to the Warriors. And the Warriors went on to play LeBron, and Kyrie got hurt, and they beat LeBron with not Kyrie being there. So Kevin Durant, the offseason, said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to go join the Warriors, a team that had just won 73 games and a team who got beaten by LeBron in the finals after being down 3-1. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden he goes to this team and he wins two championships back to back because, you know, putting Durant on the Warriors with Steph Curry was crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, they got the best team in the world. They got like four Hall of Famers. It was literally unfair. Okay, so he gets mad because they don't really embrace him like he thought they were going to do. He leaves them and says, I'm going to go to the Nets. Never wins anything. Nothing but failure, disappointment. He's with the Nets for 3-4 years. And then he turns around and says, I'm out of here. I want to go play for Phoenix. And he goes to Phoenix and he gets swept. Now the rumors are, oh, Kevin Durant wants to leave again. The moral of the story is nobody's never going to remember those two championships he won in with the Warriors because they felt like you needed them. They didn't need you. And at the end of the day, he wanted to build something on his own that people remember. See, nobody's never going to give him credit for those championships in Golden State. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is J-Lo's never going to get the credit she wants from this TV game.
Right, right.
She's never going to get that, oh, yeah, you know, you tore it. Like, she's never going to have the Angela Bassett moments with
right. Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Viola Davis. She's never going to get that. No, there are no What's Love Got to Do with It or no what's the name of that movie?
Even Dreamgirls.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson got an Oscar for Dreamgirls. I mean, Jennifer Hudson, and people say Beyonce protected, but Jennifer Hudson, they wanted Beyonce to get the Oscar, but she couldn't. Mm-hmm. Because you can't never, like Cat Williams said on the Shannon Sharp interview, like, the king is the funniest every time. Whoever's the funniest is the king. He's right. Mm-hmm. Bernie Mac was the funniest. He's the king. Dead Bernie Mac is funnier than Steve Harvey. Being dead. Bernie Mac is insanely funny. That's like Fred Sanford. He's insanely funny. Right. So my point is, like, the best is going to always outshine. You're just not better than this person. And that's just it. So that's what I mean. And J-Lo has never had them, even on television, when she had the show Shades of Blue. That was a good show, but they tried to make her a star, but she just doesn't have, she can't carry it. She can't. People don't know this, but Angela Bassett starred in 9-1-1, a TV show, and she's the executive producer. That's her show.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people don't know. Look at the credits. That's her show. That's her idea. She produces. She gets a big check. Shamar Moore with the show SWAT. He's executive producer. That's his show. But again, they remember, she turned down the role Halle Berry won an Oscar for in Monster Ball because she didn't want the sex scene with Billy Bob Thornton, which I don't blame her. That was horrible. That was trash. Like, she wasn't going to sacrifice her morals.
No, I understand.
That's what I mean. And the fact that she didn't want to be remembered like that. Like, Halle won an Oscar for that, but nobody talks about that Oscar.
I was getting ready to say, and nobody really brings that up unless they just going through her catalog.
Nobody never talks about it because they look at that she sacrificed her soul. I mean, that's what it is. Halle, but I respect Halle because Halle went through a lot. You know, they were giving Halle a hard time and she was looking at, I got to feed my family. And
yeah.
I think that this, you know, people, we'll talk about this on the next podcast, but you have to manage dysfunction just like you manage you know, functions in life. You have to learn how to manage dysfunction in Hollywood, because there's so many dysfunctional things coming at you. It makes you want to snap. That's what Britney Spears shaves her head and takes the umbrella and try to, you know, hit the paparazzi people.
How do you feel? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, how do you feel about Megan Good right now?
Megan Good is good. I mean, I think that she's carved a niche. I think she's taken calculated roles and, you know, she's done well. And, you know, people like her should have more roles. Like, if they would have given her, like, she got a new movie coming out too on Netflix. She's in an abusive relationship and she gets out of it. I don't know how it's ending, but it looks pretty good. I'm going to check it out. I'm a Megan Good fan though. But if they were to give her the same roles they gave Beyonce or Julia Roberts or Jennifer Gardner, it would have been different. Yeah. But they're going to protect those people. And I'm not saying Julia Roberts isn't a great actress, but she's overrated. Like, there's nothing like, ooh, overrated. Like, it's almost like Adam Sandler's comedy. It's overrated. He's funny, but I mean, and to be honest, even with Kevin Hart, I think they put Kevin Hart in a lot of stuff. Rightfully so, he deserves it. But because he has a wide audience, and Kevin Hart's going to bring people to the seats because people like Kevin. But that doesn't mean he's the best person for the role all the time, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you had to pick somebody, well, he has a big audience. He does. You know, people show up for Kevin. That's facts.
And he's going to get the job done.
Right.
It's talent. So I
think. Right. But if you put Cat Williams and Ride Along, what does it become? I'm just saying.
That's true.
Would it be funny?
It would be hilarious.
Right. Because Cat would have done it Cat way. They did the movie based on Kevin.
Right.
When you think about it, Cube was the star of that movie. Kevin was the goofy and startup guy getting married, and he wanted to be a cop, but he couldn't. So Kevin played the B role in that. He wasn't an A role. It worked.
Right.
But they think Kevin looks good. He's in shape. Kevin is, you know, friendly with white families. So that's why. I'm not saying Kevin did a good job in the movie. To me, The Ride Alongs was his best movie, where his best movies, and the movie he made with the older white guy who he was taking care of. That was his best movie. He needs more movies like that. Look up that movie where he played. He was helping this white guy who was a paraplegic. He was rich. And Kevin was helping him. That was a great movie, Kevin was in. Great movie. Did a great job.
I'm definitely
going
to look that up. I'm going to look it up.
But closing out on J-Lo, I just feel like with her, I just feel like she's put herself in a position where she's like, you know, people resent her, you know, for the different things that she's done, and that's not good because she's not part of the Hollywood fraternity. Just like the Kardashians can never, just like you'll never see the Kardashians inside of a movie. Never.
But how about this? How do you feel about the Disney anniversary, the 30th Disney anniversary performance, where they basically just walked north on stage? They said later that she practiced, but you know, the critics in the reviews say otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, she should not have gotten it again, but that's going to make it worse. Like, she should not have gotten it. Like, it wasn't like that. Like it's not like a LeBron situation with Bronny. Bronny was a McDonald's All-American athlete. He played for a major college. You can say what you want, but people get drafted all the time. They aren't better than Bronny. It's just a fact. And teams wanted to draft Bronny, but he wanted to play with his dad. But Bronny can ball, though. He can play. You know, there's a lot of sorry guys on NBA teams right now that are trash. They can't average 2 points a game. So, you know, it's not like Bronny can't do that. He can get some points, and he's young, and he's going to work harder because he's right there with his daddy. You don't have to worry. And he's living a dream, man. He's playing on the Lakers with his dad. You know how crazy that is? But to me, the whole Disney thing with North, it's just nepotism. Like, you paid for that. Pray for them.
But it didn't add to her like they thought. Mm-hmm. And then there are some people and researchers, that's what I call my social media team, that's always looking through things. They were able to dig up that Beyonce had Blue prepared to be in some sort of performance or movie for The Lion King. And in retaliation, since that happened to be coming up as well, I think from what I've read and watched on certain podcasts, they basically just walked North in there.
I heard about it.
So, you know, they were expecting it to go down as big as Blue Ivy touring with her mom. And this is just stuff that I've been watching from people who really dig deep and try to find receipts and everything like that. And I thought that was interesting because you actually saw growth in Blue Ivy. So when Blue Ivy becomes top tier, and when Blue Ivy's ready to even perform by herself, if that's something that she wants to do, you're going to see that hard work. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see that hard work. You watching her take the stairs right now. Yes, her mom is Beyonce and her daddy is Jay-Z. Is there nepotism involved? You can't argue that it's not, but at the same time, you can see that Beyonce wants to pave a way where Blue has to work for it. And I think that's what people appreciate and commend for Blue worked. If she went on tour with her mom and she went to all those different countries, she works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I saw that too. Yeah, that's real. Yeah, I mean, she's working and she's putting.
See her growth. She's building an authentic foundation for herself. And that's what people appreciate. They just appreciate. If we're going to compete, at least be something to compete against. And everybody loves a good competition, a good, healthy competition. So it's the part where when it's no longer a competition, when the playing field is no longer even, that's the problem. And that's where the loss of protection comes in.
And that's what's wrong. And that's why people resent, Kim Kardashian, because everything is so accelerated. Everything is so, even a child's basketball game. I mean, is a child really good? Not that I care, but, it's just people want to be a part of her brand. And that's why they do that. So, but to me, it's just like those parents who, lied and paid all that money to get to put their children through these Ivy League schools, and they got caught and had to go to prison for 14 days, become a felon. It's a joke. Like, your child isn't smart. Right. That's it. It's not smart to go to USC or go to Bowling Green. It's not smart enough. And you gotta examine that for what it is. But the look of everything, just like with J-Lo, J-Lo has gotten all these movie roles and deals because of the look. It wasn't like, she was the best person for the role. Like, there's nobody better for a role than the fact when people say, I can't see nobody else playing that role but him. You can't put nobody in Bad Boys but Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. You can't put anybody else in.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. There's only one Ghost, one Tommy.
Absolutely. That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work. Like, you can't. And that's where you've created something valuable.
Or Jamie Foxx with Ray and with
It's only one guy could have did. And that's another thing. Going back to Dreamgirls, remember Jamie was in Dreamgirls. He played the manager.
Right. And the husband.
And Jennifer Hudson you know, when she took that role, she got turned down. She had lost like the finals, I think, or semifinals or finals at American Idol. And again, they wanted Beyonce to shine in that role. It was like they wanted, and then when that didn't work, they put in Cadillac, the Cadillac Records movie. That didn't work. Jennifer Hudson went on to do a Aretha Franklin movie. I saw Aretha Franklin movie myself. I ordered that movie. That was a great movie. Mm-hmm. But Jennifer Hudson is a real actress. Like, she's really good. Mm. Like, what she did in Aretha was amazing. She played her butt off in Aretha. You know what I'm saying? And she did a great job in Dreamgirls. She made the movie.
Amazing.
Yeah, but she was the chubby girl, a little dark skin, a brown skin, that, but they wanted Beyonce. Beyonce was going to be the Diana Ross in that. Remember, they put Beyonce in Obsessed, and she actually did a good job in Obsessed with Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Now she, in that movie, she did a great job because she was limited. See, she played her role as the wife who was trying to fend off this crazy woman. The white girl was the star of the movie. The white girl.
And she did an amazing job because she pissed everybody off by the end of the movie.
Right. But she played, that's even when I watched that movie today.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. Built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
I watched it because of her role. She did such a great job of being crazy. I'm like, this girl was really crazy. And Idris, I'm like, this girl, like, sometimes you watch stuff, and like the movie, I'm a big Morris Chestnut fan. The movie with Morris Chestnut was in, where him and his wife, Regina Hill.
I know you're talking about when they got married.
Yeah, and they had to get a surrogate mom. Nah, not best man. He used his young girl to be a surrogate mom.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, look up that film. Actually, they shot it in New Orleans. They sure did. So go watch that. I forgot the name. Look up Morris Chestnut and type in surrogate mom, mother. You'll see it. That because I got the movie in my Amazon library. But the point I'm making is I watched that movie because I'm a big Morris Chestnut fan, but the girl did a great job acting crazy in there. And what she set up is she wanted Morris in the end. So, and she took the baby and tried to run away with it. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was a great movie. But the Obsessed movie, the white girl made it. Like, I'm like, she's killing it. And that's why I watched that movie today. But to me, J-Lo doesn't have that moment. Her biggest movie was when her and Puff was in the club getting shot at. You know, I'm just saying, like, that was really a life movie. You know what I'm saying? But just a moment. But think about all the roles that Beyonce's had in movies, and she's not doing movies no more because they just said it's not working. Remember, she had the movie with Austin Powers. She had that too.
She had that one movie she did an amazing job in. That she's remembered for that role. It was the one she did with Cuba Gooding. I cannot think of the name of it.
Oh, you're talking about the church movie?
Mm-hmm. She did a good job in that one. But again, yeah, you're going to say she was limited.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you know, the reason why people rock with Jamie Foxx because he's one of the most dynamic actors of all time. Will Smith, dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, Denzel, dynamic. Jennifer mm-hmm. Hudson, dynamic. Wesley Snipes, Viola Davis. I mean, Viola is on another level. She's not even human. You know what I'm saying? Taraji Henson. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's amazing. What's the girl name? Tabitha. What is that? I can't pronounce her name. Spencer, the black woman. The first name start with a T, last name Spencer. She's amazing. But, you know, these are real actresses and real actors. So there's a level of pride that comes with this. You know what I'm saying?
There's a level of pride. There's a level of passion.
Speak up a little bit.
There's a level of pride and there's a level of passion and authenticity. And it's their authentic self, their uniqueness that really takes over those roles.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, absolutely, a lot of the problem is sometimes people are afraid to show their authentic self. They're afraid of what other people will think of that authentic version of them. And the downside of that is not tapping in a way that you always wanted to. Like the people you look up to.
Mm-hmm. I got you on that. Moving over to the Me Too movement before we get out of here. I think the Me Too movement right now needs a restart. I think that the powers that be let it rock for a while. And, you know, a lot of people take it, but, you know, Harvey Weinstein's conviction got overturned in New York. So that was a big deal. And mm-hmm. now they're like, he trying to get the one in L.A. overturned so he could literally be getting out of prison. But I think people, because of all the attention that's been on Puff, Sean Combs, I think the Me Too movement has taken a seat back because Puff is in a lawsuit every other month. So the Me Too movement, I think impact-wise, it has had tremendous impact, but I think there's still a lot of impact it didn't have because, you know, there's so many stories that still aren't told.
And this is just in entertainment. This is just in Hollywood, right, and A-list celebrities and the upper echelon. This isn't even, like, what's so crazy in today's news and is blowing my mind. There are so many teachers getting caught when it comes to just predatory behavior. That right. blows my mind. But we don't call it a Me Too movement because they're young. And they're underage and they're minors. But they're still victims, and that is still traumatizing. So I do agree with you on the reset, because there's more to just than how it started. And like you said, major impact has made an amazing impact on exposing some people, but not everybody. And there's right. still people who are afraid to come forward. And there's some people who will never come forward. So I think we need to add levels to that Me Too movement as well.
I do. And going back to J-Lo real quick and people that's protected like Beyonce, I mentioned to you earlier about A. Marie, about Maya. There are a lot of people that should have gotten. And if you go back to A. Marie, she was right. That was right before Crazy in Love dropped. Because if you mm-hmm. listen to Crazy in Love, the drum patterns, mm-hmm. it's just one thing. They got me tripping. That's Crazy in Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's Crazy in Love right there. But they needed that moment to happen. That song, like they suppressed A. Marie.
Mm-hmm.
A. Marie had a top five record on Billboard.
Like, she was doing amazing. She was entering into her prime.
But they tell the producer, don't give her any hits. Don't give her this. Don't give her that. And
that was back in a time when they couldn't just walk out of a contract and go to another one. Another mm-hmm. record label.
For real. So I want to talk about Aaliyah next on the next podcast episode. I want to talk about Aaliyah. Her music, her impact. And why did she get on that plane when Lenny Kravitz offered to give her a private jet? Why did she get on a plane with a young pilot and with a plane that was so inferior when Lenny Kravitz offered to fly her from Jamaica, wherever they were, now the island, back to Miami? And she didn't want to go. She wanted to shoot everything in Miami. That was a last minute decision. So that's crazy. And we got to talk about ChatGPT, because you're talking about it can create conversations.
It can write love letters. It can help you break up with somebody. It can write your emails for you. It can help you. You can literally type a thought into ChatGPT And then it just answers your thought.
What's the website?
I think chatgpc.com. Like, you can ask them, what is your opinion on, and then fill in the blank and just get mind blown. So I just thought that was so amazing with ChatGPC. I feel so sorry for all of the educational institutions. because it's not plagiarism. Or is it? The thing is, I think ChatGPT is so new, but it's so AI.
It's cheating. Like,
what if what it? Oh, absolutely, it's cheating, but it's not plagiarism. but is it though? Because enough people haven't used it yet and asked the same question to produce the same answer. So it's kind of like new. It's the new. You kind of just gotta wait around and see what comes of it. Just like a couple decades ago in plastic surgery. Nobody was old enough to see what it does to you when you're in a certain age group. You just had to grow with it and see what it did. So I think that's what we got to do with AI all around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because what if ChatGPT got so smart, it brings me to mind one of Will Smith's videos, iRobot. What if ChatGPT is that smart?
it already is, though. That's the sad part. It already is.
You know, what happens when the computer realizes that they can actually manipulate people's emotions based on how they react to things on social media? Because all it's doing is just taking in how people respond and stuff. What if it was like, I want this response? It could start a revolution. It could start a war. So I just think it's so interesting.
Oh, it is. We got to talk about it. Aaliyah and ChatGPT. What are your thoughts on the More Than Just an Interview podcast? Your first time here.
This is so dope. It's kind of like a little think tank, a little rap session, because you get to put in information and take out information. And it's not a debate. It's not an argument. There's a lot of podcasts, especially in the Red Pill community, where a lot of their interviews be based on like a passionate argument or a debate. This is more so just sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, and sharing perspectives. So I really do appreciate it. It was such a pleasure. I really enjoyed myself. And I can't wait to come back. This was dope.
Well, you back this week. We got work to do. So
all right,
you know you got a lot of catching up to do.
Yes, I do.
So please jump on the leads. Appreciate that. Give out your Instagram out so people can follow your dopeness.
What's up, y'all? My name is Quinashay Shillette. I'm going to start sharing my story with you and letting you guys in more on my life in general. I'll just show you a little bit more of my unique and authentic side. My Instagram is QUINASHAI_CHELETTE, Quinashay Shillette. I can't wait to see y'all on my page so that I can get on your page and then we can interact and we can just really just talk about what needs to be talked about.
Yeah, any subjects that you all want to give, you all can go to morethanjustaninterview.com and drop us a note and let us know what y'all want to talk about and we'll bring it up. Like I said, we dropping content every day. We got 4 new episodes being uploaded today, so lock in. Make sure y'all subscribe to us on Apple. If you're not on Apple, if you're on Android, you can subscribe to us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on iHeartRadio. You can subscribe to us on Amazon as well. So we're there. But for all my iOS users, including you, Quinashay, make sure you go to Apple right now. Type in More Than Just an Interview. M-O-R-E space T-A-N space J-U-S-T space A-N space interview. Pull us up. We got a dope logo. And hit that follow button and rate us 5 stars if you listen to one of our podcasts and let us know what you think. All right.
Cool. Most certainly looking it up right now and I am downloading it to my app. Thanks. Everybody do the same thing. I can't wait
y'all make sure y'all follow Quinashay Shillette. Like I said before, her movement is very ultra unique and distinctive and she's doing amazing things in the world of fashion, music, and free speech. So, and you'll be hearing her more on this podcast, talk about different things that we enjoyed her fresh perspective on from a female's point of view. So definitely. Quinashay, make sure you hit that red button to leave, okay?
No problem. I will definitely be seeing and hearing from y'all in the future. Let's stay connected. Let's stay in tune.
All right, people, let's get it. More than just interview, Red Circle, Music Hype Beast, The GOAT. Let's get it. Quintessay Shalette, Zoe Rose GOAT. Peace.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.